the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Why did he use that word?
God goes to extreme measures to bring the lost to himself.
The greatest gift you will ever give this world is your intimacy with God.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three inside of me. I've got the power right now.
I think what Jesus really wants is people to go. I want to be the answer to Jesus' prayer request.
Welcome to the Fuel for the Harvest podcast.
When this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, then shall the end come.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this latest episode of Fuel for the Harvest. This is Nathan.
And this is Charlie. We're your hosts for today. And we really just want to bring up an interesting topic that just seems to be lacking in society, seems to be lacking in the Christianity of our culture and of our day, especially in the United States. It differs from country to country, but we'll get to it. You're wondering, what is this topic that's missing? And it came because of a conversation that happened recently. So there's this young guy who reached out, and he said, hey, I'm really struggling with this particular sin in my life. And, well, he didn't say that. He said, I'm struggling with this thing in my life. Is it sinful? Is it bad? Is it okay to be a Christian and struggle with this? And I began to ask him some questions about, hey, what's going on? And he said, well, some people told me, yeah, God loves you no matter what you do, so doesn't matter, keep doing it. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting. And he said, well, other people told me, you know what, it is not even possible for you to be a Christian and have those thoughts. And I was going, man, that's kind of sad. Like, both of those seem absolutely, utterly false. And so I began to unpack, what is grace and what is repentance? And it kind of seems like there's one way you can swing the pendulum of repentance without grace, just sheer condemnation. And I would say culturally, it seems like that may have been the former generation. But now, for the most part, it seems like young people especially, and in our culture, are preaching or expecting a message of grace without repentance. Hey, God loves you no matter what you do. But then we stop there.
And you can just keep doing it.
You just keep going.
That's the problem.
Just keep going. Like, it's like the message starts off true but doesn't complete itself. God loves you no matter what you do. And then just stop.
Right. So we were talking about this and like this need for repentance and this need for people to turn from where they're headed and go in a different direction. Because in the original language, that's the implication that we get. Repentance is simply a 180 degree turn. It's saying no to the direction I was going and yes to the direction that Jesus is calling us to go.
Yeah, it literally means a change of mind. Like, you think differently about something now, and that causes you to move in a different direction. In fact, it used to be a military term where they would call out repent, and then the people would do a 180 turn in their military formation. And so it's that total change of thinking that moves you to a totally different direction.
And we've just noticed, like Charlie was saying in his story, that this word repentance has almost become a dirty word. And that's kind of an issue for us, because as we look at the teachings of Jesus, as we look at the teachings of the New Testament, repentance is not just common, but also it's first.
Yeah, Jesus' very first message when he walks onto the scene, he grows up, he gets baptized, and he begins what you could call his public ministry, flowing right out of his baptism. And his first message is, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Very first word out of his mouth, repent. You guys are going the wrong direction, and I'm warning you, turn the other direction. Believe in the right way. Walk in the right way. It's what John the Baptist preached. It's what Paul the Apostle preached. Others preached it.
Right. Like, the very first sermon in the book of Acts, after the Holy Spirit comes in Acts chapter 2, does the Holy Spirit come in Acts chapter 2? Yes, it does. Or he does. The Holy Spirit comes in the beginning of Acts chapter 2, comes upon the disciples, they start preaching the gospel, and like all these people in Jerusalem are like, these guys are drunk or crazy, and then Peter's like, no, they're not drunk or crazy, and then he gets up and he just basically goes throughout Israel's history and just says, this is Jesus, this is who Jesus was, this is where he came from, and this is what he did. And in response to this, in Acts chapter 2, verses 38, or verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? So in response to this powerful message from Peter about who Jesus is, these people are asking, what in the world should we do? And you guess what Peter's words are? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, massively important. Like, if this is the message that the followers of Jesus are proclaiming, you would think it would be absolutely vital to the DNA of the messages that we proclaim. I was messaging this young guy that we were talking about, and I said, man, let me respond to that first off. I'm not even going to start by answering your question of, is this issue sin or is it okay? First, let me say this. Does God love you no matter what you do? Absolutely. Without any shadow of a doubt, God loved this, so loved the whole world that he gave his son. God demonstrates his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It couldn't be more clear. God absolutely delights over us. He's crazy about us.
His love for you is not dependent on your actions.
Yes. But, so that's the one side of it where people would say, well, it doesn't matter. God loves you no matter what. Does he love you no matter what? Absolutely. But what does you do matter? Oh boy, it matters.
Does what you do matter? Yes.
Massively. What you do, it really matters. Why? Our sin has separated us from God. That's why Jesus died. Our sinful actions are going to hinder our walk with Jesus. Our obedience to Jesus brings so much more fullness of life. The scriptures talk about that what we do with our actions, what we say with our mouth, reveals what's truly in our heart. There's a scripture that says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, or another translation, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. And Romans says, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. We all must stand before Christ to be judged. We will receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Galatians talks about, hey, it lists a bunch of sins, sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, other sins like these. You guys get the idea. Guess what? It says, let me tell you, anyone who makes a practice of these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I basically laid this out. I said, hey, yeah, God loves you no matter what you do. Absolutely. What you do absolutely matters. It reveals what's in your heart. It matters. It shows the direction of your life, what you've been thinking, whether you've repented or not.
Right.
And it's a big deal.
So our actions, God's love is not dependent on our actions, but the way that we reveal our love to God is through our actions.
Yeah.
Jesus himself says, if you love me, you obey my commandments.
So, man, our actions are going to have eternal impact on others' lives, on the quality of our lives now. If I'm not saying we're saved by works. Don't hear me wrong. We are saved by grace, but too often we stop there. The next verse says, God has prepared good works in advance for you to do. So we're saved by grace, but we're saved for works. And you have to question, if there's zero fruit in your life, you've said, oh yeah, I acknowledge Jesus, but nothing's changed, you might wonder, man, do you really know him?
Right. So repentance becomes this crucial linchpin in our relationship with God. Because we can't just stop at you're saved by grace. Like, as Protestants, like, that's such an important theology. Like, that's first, that comes right away. You are saved by grace. But as we desire to go deep in relationship with Jesus, as we desire to truly become his followers, to walk in the steps that he walked, to be imitators of Christ, to do the things that he did, as the New Testament says again and again and again and again, be like Jesus, we must repent of our sins, turn the opposite direction, and start instead of running towards the flesh, instead of running towards sin, instead of running towards the world, turn the other direction and begin running towards Jesus. It's essential. We can't just say, it's okay, it's fine, and don't worry about it. Just keep doing what you're
God
doing.
God loves you, His grace is sufficient, so keep going.
Right. That's not the message of the New Testament. That's not the message of Jesus. That's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is repent and believe. Turn from the direction that you are going and go a different direction. Now, we are wondering, so like, why in the world have we gotten to this point? Like, why in the world has our culture become so resistant to this idea of repentance? Why? Maybe even as you're listening, you're hearing it almost come across as like a dirty word. Like, why has repentance become this dirty word?
Yeah, I think we have gotten comfortable as a society. We love comfort. We love pleasure. We love entertainment. And so much so that it's like we are living for those things. And when we start to question each other, like, are you living by the right values? You go, how dare you? Like, this is my personal space. This is my personal life. You have no right to tell me anything.
And the crazy thing is, this is not just that if you listen to our podcast about judging others, then you know that there's a nuance here, that there's a separation between people who confess Jesus and people who do not confess Jesus. Like, it's one thing to go around like judging and condemning people who don't confess Jesus, but it's a whole other thing to hold one another accountable as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah, and I would almost separate biblically the word judge and the word condemn. I think in our culture, when we hear the word judge, we associate the two together. When we see in the scriptures, they're separated. Judge is to say, this is right and this is wrong. Condemn is to say, you're trash because of this wrongness.
Right. But we think that one of the major reasons that this kind of reality, the reason that repentance has become a dirty word in our culture, is because it's almost an overreaction to the ways of our past. In the past, you're probably familiar with the phrase hellfire and damnation, preachers or sermons, sinners in the, you know, God hates sinners, or those kinds of phrases that emerged out of the 1900s and 1800s in the United States, where like there was a lot of preaching about repentance. Repent, repent, repent. And there was also a lack of teaching in some cases about grace. And it's almost as if our cultural pendulum has swung past the middle, a healthy medium, all the way to the other direction, where now we only preach about grace and never preach about repentance.
How many times you heard, God loves you, God loves you. Oh, His grace is incredible. It's amazing. Look at this grace. Oh man, He loves me just as I am. God loves you. And amen, He does. But we so often stop there and we don't say, man, He loves you just as you are. But He loves you so much that He can't leave you where you are. He has something so much more for you. I think Romans 2:4 sums it up pretty well. Godly kindness is intended to lead us to repentance.
Basically, the love of God is designed to drive us towards changing our lives.
Yes, a total life change. Repentance being life change and transformation that comes from turning away from all that hinders the fullness of life, turning away from that sin and walking in obedience, the fullness of life that Jesus has for us. That would be the essence of repentance. Man, it's not a burden, it's an offer. Man, look what I want to give you. You got to let go of what you're holding on to and walk in this. So I explained all this to this young guy. And I said, now that we have a concept of grace and repentance and sin, let's go ahead and talk about your life. I don't want to give you my opinion. I want you to see the scriptures. So I sent him 10 scriptures basically on the topic to say, here's what these scriptures say about what you just said, about the struggle you have. And the scriptures pretty clearly said, yeah, it's sin. God doesn't like it. It's not good for our lives. And man, I'll be honest, it was tough. Basically, this guy responded to me and said, man, you ruined my life. I'm going, what do you mean I ruined your life? He said, I have struggled with this topic for years. And And I'll let you guys in on this. This was a follow-up conversation to something earlier on when the topic had been brought up and we first talked about it. And so he wanted to see if I had changed my mind from years ago. And he said, I've struggled ever since then years ago. My life is just horrible. I struggle now with these bad thoughts, with depression. I'm just living it out though. And I love who I am. I love walking in this sin. And I can't believe that you would have told me it was wrong. And I'm going, man, my heart was just wrenched and burdened out of love for this guy. I lovingly said, man, I love you. I care for you. Let me pray with you. Let me walk with you. And I separated. I said, hey, listen, it's not sin to have a temptation, to have a thought to act out. No, it's sin when you act it out. So, man, the difference, the key thing is that you don't make a practice of this. If you're making a practice of this, embracing the lifestyle and saying, yeah, it's okay, doesn't matter, man, you're on some dangerous ground spiritually. You may not know Jesus. But if you're struggling with it, you mess up sometimes, you confess it to the Lord. Say, I'm sorry. Confess it and press on. Press forward. Confess and press. Confess it, Lord, I'm sorry, and move forward. Man, that's okay. That's the battle of the spirit and the flesh we see in Galatians 5, not embracing the practice of it, but confessing it to walk in the freedom of God. And so it's not to say you'll be without temptation or without struggle, but it's to say you don't embrace it and walk in it. And so separating that, but he said, man, you know what? The Bible says multiple times that judgment comes from God and love your neighbor. You have all the quotes that apply to your personal beliefs, but maybe you should try reading the rest. And I meant, man, he said, never message me again. I was really sad, honestly, about it. But I know that he's in darkness. He's stuck spiritually. He has decided to embrace a life of sin without conviction, without repentance, without care. Basically turned to, he asked me in honesty when the first time we talked, he said, man, is this okay? What does the Bible say about this? And I said, here, let's just read these verses and talk about it. And he's decided he didn't care. He'd rather walk into sin, even though God says it's not okay. And what he wanted from me was, you're okay, bro. Keep going. Doesn't matter. God loves you. His grace is enough. Live your life and have fun and sin all you want. That's what he wanted to hear. If I were to say any hint of this is not okay, he's cleaning his hands saying, I'm done. You're an imbecile, basically. Mm. And it just got me thinking, one, I was so sad about his life. But two, wow. That's our culture right there.
Yep. Heartbreaking stuff. One of the things that I'm thinking about as you're sharing this story is just how much our culture has embraced sin to call it okay. And the line, it seems like, I guess it depends on where you are in the world, but it seems like the line just keeps getting pressed further and further and further and more things that...
Especially in the United States right now.
And more things that used to not be okay are becoming increasingly, increasingly, increasingly accepted. And the church, instead of saying, no, the word of God does not change. It stands forever. It remains the same. It's like a rock that our lives are supposed to mold to. Instead of the church saying that, the church is saying, well, you know, Jesus does say love everyone, so maybe we should stop calling this sin, sin. Maybe we should stop calling this action against the word of God. Maybe we should stop calling what God calls sin, sin. And that is like really dangerous ground. And one of the things that we've done in the midst of all that is stop calling people to repent. Because God loves you, you don't have to repent.
Well, let's just leave it to the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
And although there's a hint of truth in that, there's always a hint of truth in there.
Right.
Well, let's just leave it to the Holy Spirit. I don't need to say anything. Why did Jesus say anything? Why did his followers say anything? Everybody who ever proclaimed the word of God to God's people and to others were saying, hey, you're going down a wrong path here. You might want to turn the other way because you're about to walk off a cliff, spiritually speaking. Repent.
Right. So hopefully you guys are hearing by now. We really believe in repentance, and we believe in the in the outflow of that in your life. One of the outflows of repentance in your life is a better, healthier relationship with the Lord. There's so many outflows of repentance in your life. One of the negative consequences that we've often seen when people fail to repent, when they fail to ask for forgiveness, when they have unforgiveness in their life and that kind of thing, one of the things we've seen is it almost becomes like a foothold or a handhold for the enemy in their life. A place yes. where Satan can like weasel his way in and cause all kinds of mayhem and wreak havoc.
I agree. It's Ephesians. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, do not let the sun go down on your anger, and in doing so, give the devil a foothold. When I think about the sun going down on my anger, I think of a day's passing and moving to a new day, and I never dealt with my anger. I just let it sizzle and kept it under a lid and kept it in my heart. All of a sudden, man, I'm having unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, rage towards somebody in my life when they bothered me or hurt me. And all of a sudden, bam, according to the word of God, Satan's got a foothold. What in the world is a foothold? I think of like it's taking ground. It's movement forward. It's influence. It's like climbing a rock wall and you can grab a hold and move up and forward. And Satan hates our guts as believers. He's firing arrows at us, according to Ephesians 6, that are set on fire at believers, at you and me who follow Jesus. That's why we have the shield of faith. That's why we have the armor of God. But if we just walk in things without repentance, number one, man, that gives the enemy opportunity to influence our lives. Number two, if all we do is zero repentance, you might question whether you really met Jesus and been changed by him.
Yep. And before we finish up the podcast today, I just want to kind of throw something in there. As many people are on one side of this spectrum, just not repenting at all, there's a lot of people who just live their lives continually feeling guilty about every sin that they ever commit. And if you're one of those people, I just want to say, yes, repent, but also press forward.
Yeah.
The Bible scripture says that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So if we confess our sins and then continue living in the guilt and condemnation of ourselves and all this stuff, we're equally disobeying scripture by not moving past it.
Yeah, we're not allowing the fullness of the freedom that Jesus has to infiltrate our hearts and our lives and our beings. Like, man, Jesus came to give us life abundantly. The thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Read the book of Hebrews if you're struggling with that. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for sins was once for all. If you're in Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, that sacrifice covers you. You're clean, man. You're good. You're a saint, no longer a sinner. You're sanctified. You're holy, declared justified. Now, at the same time, you are being sanctified, being made holy. So God sees you as holy in your identity, but in your actions, you continue to work with him to see that walked out day by day. And how does that happen? When you feel bad, when you sin, that's good. The Spirit's convicting you. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And then move forward from it and keep walking with him. That's key. And I think part of this that I've been thinking about is not just turning from, but it's what you turn toward.
Right.
Your eyes are not fixed on sin. They're not fixed on darkness, whether that's doing it or not doing it. I mean, I'm struggling with this. Let me just try harder. Do not. Stop. No, just quit even thinking about it and look at Jesus. Look at the heavenly throne. Wow, he's so holy, so majestic, so incredible, amazing, loving. I just get obsessed with him, and you're going to start to find yourself having power over this. I think we were hunting this last week, and as we were going, you know, we go out, I think we hiked like 20, 25 miles this week, just in and out of trees, up and down mountain ridges, looking for anything we could find. Is there an animal behind that hill, a deer or an elk? Is there one behind this tree? What about the next tree? Could I even find one print in the mud? We were doing everything we possibly could to seek out and hope to find one of these animals. And that's the life that we have spiritually. Matthew says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. That's the way we should be seeking after Jesus. Man, I'm going to look here and I'm going to look there and I'm going to continue to seek, ask, knock, and you will find. And it will be given to you. So don't just be looking at what you're running from. Look at what you're searching for, Jesus and the fullness of life that he has. Continue to pursue him, looking for where he's at work, literally in every moment of your life, everywhere you step foot. And I think as you do that, you're going to find, wow, it's a lot easier to walk in repentance when I'm looking at Jesus and not at myself.
Yep. Amen. Well, everyone, thanks so much for joining us for this latest episode of Fuel for the Harvest. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Oh, by the way, we are on social media, so find us on Instagram, find us on Facebook, and also don't forget to subscribe on wherever you're listening to your podcast and shoot us a rating if you feel like this content is helpful or valuable. We really, really appreciate it. Hope you have a great day. God bless.